As we think about the Lord and put our faith in Him and come before Him, that unspoken request, just that hand up and down as we pull forward. Thank you, Father. As we prepare, we are continually reminded that You are with us and that our acceptance of Your Son, You live within us. We thank You, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins where we have fell a little short, sometimes a lot short, but You have remembered us, Father. You have remembered us in grace and mercy. You have remembered us in blessings. And although it goes without saying, it still needs to be said, You gave us Mama. You gave us that woman. Be she our biological or not, You gave us that woman or women that lead us, created in Your own image, and what a magical gift it still is. And we do best to remember it. We thank You, Father, for the things that we have been given that we didn't even ask for. Father, we ask that You be with those whose hand went up and down for that prayer that they couldn't share out, but You know about it. For those that's written down in the prayer box, Father. We ask that You lift up and keep those, a motorcycle accident, strengthen him. We're thankful, Father, here Kirby's going back to work. We're thankful that Gene at 88 still wants more years on this earth and has generosity to show for it. We ask that You strengthen Kathy as she prepares to move forward. We thank You, Father, for the doctors and the nurses working within Charlie. And for the brother that's singing a hymn, going to the surgery table, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a joy divine. Father, we thank You for the remembrance of birthdays. We ask, Father, that You would remind us that it's not just the day. We're thankful, Father, for the abundance and bounty of fruits and vegetables of Your hand, of the things You have seen fit to give unto us. We ask, Father, that You keep a watch over Bud and Shirley as they travel, as they spend that quiet time together. Bring them back to us safely. And for those traveling today in whatever capacity to whatever destination to be with whomever, Father, bless them in their trip and in their journey and keep Jesus in their heart. We thank You, Father. We ask that You watch over and keep all those under our care and that our prayers for all mankind be heard as we pray together in the way Your Son Jesus taught us, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I have a question. If you're sitting in a pew that has a Kleenex box in it, would you please hold it up? Because I promise you that today is Mother's Day. And if you think for one minute that I'm not going to wind it up, you're wrong. So keep them handy. As a matter of fact, there was a proclamation made that said this is a Mother's Day sermon. Now, as a preacher, I get taught there are certain things you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to work emotion into it. You're not supposed to single out certain things. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. I'm breaking all them rules because I don't pay attention to rules anyway. I loved it when Brother David was talking about his mother loved him enough that she would discipline him. My mother must have really loved me. This is a Mother's Day sermon, and I am preaching without apology and with an appreciation for that time honored institution. Without its benefit, none of us would be here. For every Mother's Day sermon I've run across and I've heard them, they always start with an explanation. This one's no exception. We're reminded not to get too sentimental about motherhood because for motherhood, some was an accident and not always welcome. For some, biological motherhood wasn't possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. And for some, motherhood, under the very best of circumstances, is still less than a bed of roses or a primrose path. And we're taught not to remind people of that. But if I could take some liberties with Wilhelm Busch's words, he was a German poet. I have the words in German here, but I was going to try it. Let's see here. Mutter Wurden ist nicht schwer, sein Dagen schwer. I'm pretty sure that I just yelled at somebody in not so nice language, but I did practice. To become a mother is not so difficult. On the other hand, being a mother is very much so. So with all those qualifications, why bother with Mother's Day at all? Well, I'll tell you why. Because for all its stumbling blocks, pitfalls and broken dreams, for all the soiled diapers, soiled wallpaper, spoiled plans, we're talking about that beautiful ideal, a natural part of God's creative plan to bring love and caring to light. Motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of caring, and mothers give that gift. Join with me in prayer, please. Father, set our hearts aside. Prepare us for what we are about to receive. May these words be honored and lifting from you, Father, that we would know the purpose a little bit closer. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the ability to say, Happy Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, all of his children said, Amen. All right, now that I've got that out of the way, you understand that this sermon and the direction it's going is going to be sappy and full of emotion like it's supposed to be. Because I love Mother's Day because I have many mothers. I have a lot of women in my life who have endeavored to keep me straight. Some of them still have to do it, and they ought to get more than a Happy Mother's Day and a kiss on the cheek. They ought to wear a big medal. See, even today, I'm reminded constantly. Have you noticed lately? Have you looked around and really noticed how many movies, how many books, how many more people, and I've noticed this, are talking about heaven? Have you seen that? Well, there's two couple movies in the theater right now that are doing really good. They made a movie out of that book, Heaven is for Real, about that little kid, that Berkeley kid. I cannot remember his first name. Todd, I think. I read the book. I loved it. But have you seen that? How many people are looking for heaven? Just a glimpse. Just a little look for heaven. Just a glimpse of it. And people define heaven in so many different ways. Oh, when they bite into blueberry pie that has been freshly homemade with ice cream on top of it, they might say, oh, this is heavenly. I know if you're in my house, that's the statement I make. Because we all know how much I love blueberry pie. And some people say, oh, I walked into this clothing shop and I saw that wall full of shoes, ladies, and oh, it was just heavenly. That's not a glimpse of heaven. A field full of unfound antique tractors might be. But that's Father's Day sermon. But everybody's looking for just a glimpse of heaven. Open your Bibles up. Revelation chapter 21. Starting in the 9th verse. Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Now, don't be scared. Yes, we're in Revelation, but it's okay. I'm going to be your tour guide. We're not going to get in any trouble right here. Verse 9. One of the angels, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, remember, this is John writing this in exile on the Isle of Patmos. Come. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, as clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, and 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. He measured the wall, and it was 144 cubits thick. And here's where it goes. By man's measurement, what the angel was using, the walls were made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation, jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, cryophase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And the great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Heaven. Wow. Heaven. There's an old joke that when a rich man died, he was coming up to the heaven's gate and he was carrying 2 big old satchels. And St. Peter said, "We don't allow no luggage in here." He goes, "But I worked all my life to have these." St. Peter talked to him for a couple of minutes and then let him go on in with him. And one of the other angels went up and said, "Why'd you let him do that?" And St. Peter said, "Oh, he was carrying street bricks. We already have plenty of those up here." Our earthly treasures can compare nothing to just a glimpse of heaven. And everybody, everywhere is looking for it. Everybody. Today I'm going to give you a secret. Today I'm going to let you glimpse heaven through my eyes. You see, as I alluded to, there are a lot of women in my life and continue to be in my life who keep me on the straight and narrow. My mother, who has been gone from me now for 5-7 years, was taken when I wasn't ready. My stepmother, who is still there, endeavors to keep me right. Women in this church, women in my family, Martha Strite, Linda Strite, Peggy Kiefer, Eloise Strite. You want me to keep going? I'm surrounded by it. God knew that the time was coming when I was going to be big enough that I could get out of control in quite a hurry, and He saw fit to do it. And although I didn't always appreciate it, and sometimes when they have to talk to me in the way that they need to tell me they love me, I may not still appreciate it at first, but I know that I have found out one thing. Are you ready? Ladies, all of you, put your hands up, please. Put them up. Not like this. Unless you can, understand that. Look around you at the hands up. That's a glimpse of heaven. Mom. Mom. Mom is a glimpse of heaven. On this earth, there ain't no beauty greater than Mom. And I don't care who she is. She's a mother in some way or some form. If she has endeavored to come to you and hold you for a minute and pray for you, Mom. That's a glimpse of heaven. Can you say amen to that? Do you agree with me? Take a good look around. As she stood, get your tissues ready. Here we go. As she stood in front of her fifth grade class, this teacher knew that she was going to have to lie to her students for the first time. She didn't want to do it, But she knew she was going to have to lie when she looked out that day and she said to her fifth grade class, "I love all of you the same." But that was impossible because there was one kid in the class named Teddy Stoddard. Now, she had watched him in her fifth grade class, noticed he didn't play well with the children, didn't have a whole lot to do with them. His clothes were dirty. He constantly needed a bath. At times, he could actually be kind of mean. And Miss Thompson, the teacher that just stood and lied to her whole class, would especially sometimes take enjoyment out of taking her big fat red pen and writing F on her paper that she would hand back to him. See, at the school, she was required to review each child's past records, and she had put him off to the very last. Perhaps if she'd have read first, she'd had a better understanding. And so it was a surprise when she read her first grade. The first grade teacher said, "A bright child with a beautiful laugh. He does his work great. He's a joy to be around." The second grade teacher wrote, "An excellent student, well liked by classmates, but he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home is becoming a struggle." Third grade teacher wrote, "His mama's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father shows very little interest. And his home life will soon affect him if someone doesn't step in." His fourth grade teacher wrote, "He is withdrawn, shows no interest in school, has no friends, and sleeps in class." By now, Miss Thompson had come to the understanding of the problem, and she was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse that when her students brought Christmas presents wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, she knew it was going to be an embarrassing time as Teddy brought his. His was clumsily wrapped in an old grocery bag with half a bow put around it. She took pains to open her presents in the middle of all of them. And she would go through and everybody would open things up and ooh and ah. And when it came to his turn, she began to open it. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet, gaudy looking thing, in amongst all the presents. Even had a few of the stones missing away from it. And was a bottle of perfume that was only a quarter full. But she put the bracelet on and she said, "Oh, it's so beautiful." And she dabbed a little bit on her wrist and a little bit on her chin of the perfume. "Oh, it was so wonderful. It was so lovely." She made the children be quiet and quit making fun. And the time went on and the class ended. And Teddy stayed after school that day. And he came up to her and he said, "Mrs. Thompson, you sure do smell good. You smell just like my mama used to." That was her favorite perfume. "And that bracelet that you're wearing sure reminds me of my mama." And then he walked out. She hit her knees. The tears started. The prayers began. And she vowed after that day, she was not going to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. She was going to teach children she had come to know. She began to pay particular attention to him, and she worked with him, and suddenly his mind came alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded, and by the end of that year, he had become one of the smartest children. And she would lie and tell him that she loved all her children the same, but that was her pet. A year later, she found a note under her door telling her that she was still the best teacher he had ever had. 4 years after that, she received another letter saying that while things had been tough at times, he had stayed in school and stuck with it, and would graduate from college with the highest of honors, and he assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still his favorite and best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. Then 4 more years passed, and another letter explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he went for his master's degree, and he stayed on a little further, and she was still his best and favorite teacher. And at the bottom, it was now signed, Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. Story don't end there. You see, then there was another letter that spring. Teddy had found a little girl and was going to get married. And his daddy had died a few years back, and he was asking if Miss Thompson would come and sit in the wedding place where his mama would have sat. And she couldn't wait to get there. She wore the bracelet and wore the perfume. And when they hugged each other, Dr. Stoddard whispered in her ear, "Thank you, Miss Thompson. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important. Thank you for showing me that I could make a difference." And with tears in her eyes, she whispered back, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You are the one who taught me as much as I taught you. You are the difference in my life." Brothers and sisters, I tell you right now, that is just a glimpse of heaven. Say amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. Mother's Day. It's a glimpse of heaven when you think about mother. God designed it as much. He made sure that it translated down. You read in John 19 where Jesus says what? As he hung on the cross, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his house. Why? Because motherhood had been established as a gift from God, and it was that important that after Jesus proclaimed out to Mary, "My mother," looked at John and said, "Take care of her." What a greater establishment on earth can there be than that? None. It's just a glimpse of heaven. It's just a glimpse of heaven. Mom has the greatest impact on any child's life. And I say mom, I don't care who you are. I could call each and every one of you in here mom. Y'all hug me like you're my mother when you go out the door on Sunday morning. Because I remember how my mom used to hug me. She used to put her arms around me and hug me till my eyes stuck out. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, a fantastic preacher. You can read some of his works. When I read them, I forget where I'm at. He had four sons. Four. And they all turned out to be preachers. Four sons from the great Dr. Campbell Morgan. All preachers. Boy, I tell you what. Let me tell you, when I found out that I was going to be a daddy, well, boy, I'll tell you, I fluffed out the feathers in the back, puffed the chest out, and I was the king of the roost. When I found out I was having twins, after they picked me up off the floor, I was ready. Boys, going to show them how to shoot guns. Go show them how to work on tractors. Go teach them to ride motorcycles. They're going to watch movies about tractors and steam engines. Boys. Boys. Can you imagine Dr. Campbell? The great preacher. Four sons. All preachers. One time someone was sitting in the drawing room and the whole family was there. And they thought they would see what Howard, one of the sons, would say. So they asked him a question. "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Howard, without hesitation, looked straight across the room and he said, "Mom, mother, greatest preacher in the family, mother. Who leads the family? Mother. Who makes sure that everything's covered up and taken care of? Mother. We babysat my cousin's dog this weekend. This little yipping thing about that big. But they're sitting right there. You think I'm going to say anything out of character? When she dropped the dog off and left, little girl dog, back so big, the dog stood at the door. After 1 hour, that little yipping dog was following my wife around all around that house. I'd say, "Come here, Coco." That dog would look at me and go, "I don't think so." Because it's mom. I say mothers are just a glimpse of heaven. Just that much. Yesterday, afternoon, evening, when we finally were getting settled in for the evening, that dog that wouldn't settle down and run around ran up on the couch and laid up against my wife like it had lived there all of its life. And this morning when we got up, that dog actually had the nerve to look at me and go, "Can you feed me? You better go find that woman." Mother, That's the safest place. That's where you learn the greatest lesson of all. You learn Jesus Christ. You learn humanity. You learn everything. A teacher gave a second grade class a lesson on a magnet and what it does. And the next day, in a written test, she included a question. My full name has six letters. The first is M. I pick things up. What am I? 75% of the test papers turned in were fine that the answer to that question was mother. Mother. It's that important. You find your mother, you hug her today. You find a woman that was influential in your life, you hug her. If you're married to your mother, to a mother, to the woman that bore your children, you hug her and you say, thank you, because you're doing all the work. I know this because I have children. One minister's wife told of filling out a form in a pediatrician's office. Beside the blank marked occupation were these words: if you devote the greater part of your time to loving, caring, and making a home for your family, put a big star right next to this face. Anna Jarvis was credited with coming up with Mother's Day. She had seen a need because she had loved her mother so much that she would go around and take care of putting flowers on a graveside. In 1914, Congress passed a law that said, we will honor mothers. And President Woodrow Wilson said, the second Sunday in May from this point forward will be known as Mother's Day, the one day set aside to honor your mothers. But I tell you right now, as you look at them, as you think about them, as you view that glimpse of heaven, there is much more to it than just one day. That we honor them all the time. There ain't a woman sitting in front of me in this church that hasn't given me a bit of counsel somewhere along the way. I love you. I thank you, Mom. I had to go through the archives to find this one. This was an old, old, old song, and I got my papers all out of order. There it is. It was one of them speaking songs written by Harlan Howard called No Charge. And it goes like this. My little boy came into the kitchen this evening while I was fixing supper. And he handed me a piece of paper he'd been writing on. And after wiping my hands on my apron, I read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. And for going to the store for you, 50 cents. And playing with little brother when you went shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. While I looked at him standing there expectantly, and 1,000 memories flashed through my mind. So I picked up the pen, turning the paper over, and this is what I wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For the nights I've sat up with you, doctored you, prayed for you, no charge. For the time and tears and the cost through all the years, there's no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with dread and the worries ahead, no charge. For advice and the knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. For the toys, food, and clothes, and for the wiping of your nose, there's no charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, when he finished reading, he had great big tears in his eyes. And he looked up at me and said, Mama, I sure do love you. Then he took a pen, and in great big letters, he wrote, paid in full. Because when you add it all up, the real cost of love is no charge. when you take a look in this world and you look to your mama, a glimpse of heaven is what you'll see. May Christ bless you. May the influence that you have had be far-reaching and forevermore felt, mothers. May it be always known how much each and every person in this room loves you. And may you never forget that you were built specifically by God, emboldened by Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, and set forth to lead, to nurture, to love, and to teach old hard-cut pieces of iron like men that you are truly just a glimpse of heaven. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we set aside this day, many of us will be thinking about when we leave here, where we're headed to, what we're going to do, what we're going to get into. But I challenge them to hold the hand of their wife, to remember their mama in whatever way, to hold the hand of any woman, whatever touched and led them, and say, "Thank you. You've given me just a glimpse of heaven." That we will know, Father, that motherhood was your great design, and that without motherhood, Jesus Christ would not have fulfilled the prophecy. We thank you, Father. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.